This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. In the forthcoming Cato book, The War on Prices, economist Brian Kutzinger sticks up for unions in a sense. That is to say, the notion of the wage-price spiral, driven in part by union power, is hard to square with reality. We spoke last month in Dallas.
What is the conventional view of the wage-price spiral? And first of all, why does that have such currency?
So the conventional view is going to be that labor unions or some other institution with market power in the labor market is able to negotiate for higher wages or wages above the competitive level. And what's going to end up happening then is firms are going to pass along part of their higher labor cost to consumers in the form of higher output prices. Of course, then the labor unions are going to want to negotiate for a higher wage because the additional purchasing power they just got from the higher wage has now been eroded by the fact that the prices of the goods and services they consume are now higher. So they go back to the employers again, they negotiate for a higher wage, this pushes output prices higher, and they go back, and again, that's where the moniker comes from of the wage-price spiral is wages go up, then prices go up, then wages go up, and it allegedly is going to spiral out of control. And I think the reason that it still gets so much purchase is, one, it's very easy to demonize a particular group. So in the United States, wage price spirals have not been blamed for inflation as much as greedflation has. But if you look over in the United Kingdom, where they have a more unionized labor force than we do in the United States, the wage price spiral argument has actually been one of the primary arguments that's been being made by British policymakers about the source of inflation in England.
This is an interesting argument because it seems to me that you're trying to relieve unions of some blame.
That's right. So I have not particularly positive views on unions, but in this particular case, they are not the underlying source of the inflation. Now, I should say that it's certainly true that it's possible for a rise in market power in the labor sector to cause wages to rise and thereby prices to rise, and that could result in some transitory inflation. But the magnitude necessary to explain even one percentage point of inflation, it would have to be that the labor market power reduced real income growth in your country by a full percentage point. To put that in context, the U.S. grows at about 2% a year. That would be like a 50% reduction in the growth rate of real income. That's simply implausibly large.
My friend, and perhaps yours, Jeremy Horpital, has been on various social medias taking pictures of people saying, "Well, look at these prices. Look at these prices." And his rejoinder is always, "Yes, but wages are up much more," like dramatically, dramatically more.
That's right. So now nominal wages did lag a little bit. It's certainly the case that real wages are just now getting, the last I looked anyway, are just now getting back up to trend. Maybe they're a little bit over. So it certainly was the case that in some sense, consumers' purchasing power from their wages was lower than it had been. But that is recovering. And I think the issue is that people forget that wages are also prices. Now, they tend to adjust a little bit more slowly than prices at the grocery store do. But over time, wages also rise to keep up with inflation.
And so the takeaway here then is for policymakers who would like to blame unions in particular as this external force, this, I guess, a monopsonistic force on behalf of workers, is just the wrong place to look.
It is.
If that's the case, then your policy prescriptions probably aren't going to be very good.
Exactly. So the British government, for example, resorted to moral suasion, telling workers not to ask for higher wages a couple of years ago. And the argument was, well, you're the problem. It's your, you know, sort of greedy demands for higher wages in response to higher prices that is the source of the inflation that we're experiencing. And of course, one, that's not good for workers. Workers, I think, should try to negotiate for the best wage that they can get. The other problem is that it ultimately absolves the institution responsible for creating inflation, which is a central bank.
Let me try to defend the wage price spiral theory
briefly.
Workers see higher prices, and that's every day, right? That's along a wide range of goods. And in response, perhaps they do ask for a raise, and perhaps they don't get it because, you know, if the company is dealing with higher input costs elsewhere, they are looking for any way they can economize in a way that they wouldn't otherwise. But to the extent that workers are also rational, they are also seeking ways to increase their incomes, and whether or not there is a union present, they might substitute away from watching TV and instead substitute toward looking for a new job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think that argument would hinge on what's going on with wages, right? So the opportunity cost of watching TV on the couch is the wage rate you could earn in the market. At least at the start of COVID, well, after the initial shock, real wages were falling, not rising. One, that's not consistent with what we would see in a wage price spiral. Real wages should be rising if we're having a wage price spiral. But that's not actually what we observed. So it's not obvious to me that with falling real wages, that people would be getting off the couch. If anything, they should be spending more time on the couch.
Brian Kutzinger's essay appears in the forthcoming Cato book, The War on Prices. We spoke last month in Dallas. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please. And thank you for listening.